So, few lessons learnt. We are going to cover this little journey of the past little while. Some lessons learnt as we have thankfully fallen forward in this strange season, as it has been, mostly. We're going to unpack some of that for you tonight. But yeah, I guess just give you some tips and insights in our marriage journey. Some little fun facts about Jace and I. So we have been married nearly 22 years.
Yep.
We have 3 double-digit aged children.
Yep.
We are both only children.
Correct.
Which is quite a fascinating little fact. We're both
Bevan's not an only child.
I don't know. He may have been.
I bet he's not.
We're both in leadership roles. We both have what we would describe as quite complex personalities. And perhaps some of that complexity has maybe come to the forefront, particularly in this global pandemic season. Mm. But amidst all that, despite all that, we remain wholly committed to growing and enjoying and going on this glorious adventure marriage story that we are in together.
Yeah, it's good. So if you're kind of new in this context, that gives you a little bit of insight into who we are. And thank you all so much again for joining us here tonight. So this has been an extraordinarily complex season.
Yes.
The last 6-7 weeks. I don't know
how
long.
I think it's 5.
It's been
700
years. Yeah. Has been difficult. So maybe like us, maybe you've struggled a bit in your relationship. Welcome to the club.
Welcome. You are part of the club.
Yeah. This has been challenging for lots of us. And transition seasons are often challenging. And so it's good to be prepared for that in advance. And so we, particularly the first 3 weeks of all of these changes, we struggled.
We struggled.
Yeah.
Holla, we struggled.
We struggled more than we thought we should have. We thought we would have done a whole lot better than what we did.
Yes. But the struggle surprised us.
Yeah, that's right. So you're going to read that list now?
I am, yeah. So there was a number of things that collided that I know for many of us. And so in this past sort of 4 or 5 weeks, many of us have been working harder.
Mm.
There's been unknowns abounding in everything. All the things have changed. All our routines collapsed or were broken. And then added to that, we've had family on top of us, our children on top of us. And then despite all of that and amidst all that, we as a couple actually had to lead in this season with strength and tenacity and resilience.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we actually both felt very maxed in our capacity, maxed across all our tanks. And I know that's been the story for many of us.
Yeah, that's right. And so what happens when you find yourself in a place like that is, well, we can become more irritable, right?
No.
Yes.
No.
So both of us more edgy.
Yeah.
More irritable.
Yeah.
Less kind. Less thoughtful. Mm. And more selfish.
Wow. More time on the sofa.
Yeah. More selfish.
Selfish.
We turned into a shellfish.
A starfish shellfish on the sofa.
Yeah, that's right. That's how great it was. And to be honest, in one time, we both actually felt quite numb towards each other.
Yes.
Which was strange territory for us.
Very strange territory for us.
For sure. So we're going to quickly go through 3 learns.
Yeah.
And some simple actions that can be helpful for us.
So it was probably, in all honesty, it was probably one of the hardest months, we reckon, of our last 22 years. It would be up there in our kind of top 5 relationally challenging seasons. I'd put it up there with our first baby, and I'd put it up there with when we first took over the church and had 3 kiddies under the age of 4. So yeah, it was a top 5, like, doozy.
Challenging. And again, I think we're not alone in finding
challenging
season. So here we go. 3 lessons.
3 lessons.
Date night with humble pie.
Humble pie, baby.
Thought number one. Let's first kind of define the whole humility kind of...
Yeah, humble pie area. Metaphor.
That's right.
Yeah.
So humility, let me read these couple of things for you. So humility is an asset for self-improvement.
Mm-hmm.
Living with humility means you recognize the areas of your life that need work.
Mm.
That's pretty profound. So kind of a working definition for us is that humility is a realization that I don't have it all together.
Mm.
I need help.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yes, it is.
And that's okay. So let's be in that space together. Humility is the opposite of pride.
Yes.
And pride puffs up
mm.
and looks down.
Yeah.
And that's not a great place.
Yeah.
For us,
yeah.
So 1 Peter 5 and James 4 both quote Proverbs 3, which says, God opposes the proud.
Mm.
Let's not be found there, but he shows favor on the humble.
Mm.
And so for us in our marriages, let's eat that humble pie,
yeah,
and get that favor flowing into our marriages.
Yeah. Yeah, because pride cripples a marriage, whereas humility cultivates a marriage. There you go. Mm. That's a bit tweetable.
Nice.
Pride cripples a marriage, but humility cultivates a marriage.
It's good. M made that up. So
oh, thanks,
you
darling.
Can credit her with that. Here we go. First key thought here. Number one, humility owns its brokenness. Humility owns its brokenness. And this is not always easy. And in this season we've been in, maybe you've been faced with your spouse or your kids more than you have for a while. And so you've been faced with their brokenness.
Yeah.
And it's been staring you in the face. And it's so often easier to spot someone else's brokenness than take responsibility for our own.
It is indeed.
That's right. So, easier to see their brokenness than to see our own brokenness. And so part of a healthy marriage is to be aware of our own brokenness.
Mm.
So here's a simple thought for us. And I don't remember who said this first, but we heard this maybe in our pre-marriage training.
Maybe.
About having a race to say sorry first.
Yes.
That imagine you could build into the framework of your marriage that when things go pear-shaped, when you are irritable with each other, when it hasn't been a good day, that we could actually have a race to say sorry first. Because what that does is it's really annoying, and I've played this in my mind so many times when I've been ticked off with her, and clearly it's been mostly her fault.
Clearly.
And she feels exactly the same way about me. Mm. And so then you've got this principle that we'd learned, have a race to say sorry.
Yeah.
But in my head, I'm going, she needs to say sorry first. She needs to take responsibility. And what we're doing again is we've positioned ourselves above, which is a prideful position, where if we can take the humble stance, and whether we're responsible for 5% or 95%, to be the first to say sorry, what it does is it makes us process what's happened in a way where it forces humility into the... It like washes us with humility because we have to calm ourselves down, think rationally, begin to take responsibility, because what are you going to say sorry for?
Yeah.
So you have to figure that out.
Yeah.
And then to come in...
And eat that pie.
That's right. Eat that pie. And that pie actually tastes good once you get to it. It's a pain to make it, but it tastes good and it builds the marriage. So it's a beautiful thing if we can build that as a framework in all of our marriages. It's going to be a race.
Yeah.
To say I'm sorry.
And so if you're the competitive type, make it a game, man. Race, compete to say sorry first.
Yeah. Don't keep a list and then show them that list.
You can keep an internal list, maybe. You want to keep an intern? No, okay, sorry.
No,
that's all right.
No,
I digress.
That wasn't in our notes.
No, that's not in our notes. I apologize.
That's right. Should we move to point number two?
Yeah, point number two. And lesson learnt about humility, about eating humble pie, is that humility commits to the journey. You see, humility always has its eyes on what we signed up for. And what we signed up for, you see, is loving unconditionally a flawed, imperfect being.
Wow. Did you know you signed up for that?
That's what we signed up for, right? It's we signed up for loving someone that is less than perfect. And what we want is we want to be loved because we know that we are less than perfect. The problem is that we often don't have that same standard for our spouse. So we internally want to be desired, want to be loved, want to be loved unconditionally, even though we know we're inherently flawed. Yet we often don't extend the same grace for the person that we have chosen to spend our life with. And you see, what I love about the marriage vows, some of these traditional marriage vows, which, you know, some people can say are now a little bit archaic, there is such beautiful language in this, in these traditional marriage vows where you stand there facing each other and you actually say, for better or worse, for richer, for poorer. And what we're actually doing in that moment is that we are committing before men and before God, before women and before God, that I am going to love you for richer, for poorer. I'm going to show up to our marriage and to you when you are at your poorest.
Wow.
When you are at your weakest. When you are at your least likable. When you are the least version of yourself.
Wow.
I am committing to love you and to show up for you and to show up for our marriage.
Thanks, babe. I received that.
And in richer, in poorer, in the richest of times, this isn't just about wealth, this statement. This is about the complexity and the adventure and the story that we've signed up for.
Yeah.
We've signed up to love each other, commit to one another, humbly commit to one another through the richest of times, through the sunshine and rainbows, through the honeymoons, through the mountaintops, but also through the poorest of times.
Through the COVID-19.
Through the COVID-19, through the winter and through the storm. And so humility commits to the journey. It knows that it isn't just about the awesome times, but it's actually about the gritty times. We will never have a perfect marriage because we are not perfect people. I can't expect him to be perfect because I know myself that I am not perfect. I will never have a perfect spouse, nor will I ever be a perfect spouse. And yet we have committed to one another to keep eating that humble pie through all seasons. And so how do we do this? What can this look like? What can this humble pie look like? Well, there's kind of two levels. There's like the entry level. And in a season like this, right, we are maxed emotionally. We are maxed, as we talked about, in our capacity. And so one of the greatest things we can do in a season like this to eat that humble pie and to show that we are committed and we're still all in is just to show up. Just to show up in your marriage each day, to give that little smile, to make eye contact, to do the smallest of gestures, the smallest of notes of compassion and kindness. That is showing up. Then is that's not the time to go after the big massive things, make the big massive decisions. It's just the time to do the little things. And the second thing is make time to talk about the big stuff. In this season like this, there's a lot brewing. There's a lot of potential for conflict. So make a time.
Yeah.
Don't make that time when everything is heightened.
Yeah, that's right.
And you're not feeling very likable or you're not feeling like you like your spouse much. But make a time to have a conversation. And Jason and I did that just last Friday as we set aside some time, left the house, packed the car and went and had a real deep, complex conversation and unpacked stuff because we were ready for it emotionally. But prior to that, all we could do was really show up.
Yeah.
So two steps there. Show up daily, but when you're ready, have a big convo and go at it.
Book it in. Diarize it. If you're not ready for it now, make a time to do it later.
Yeah.
It's good. Great, babe. Okay, final thought for tonight. Hope you're having a good time. Hope you're having a little drink and hopefully sitting next to your spouse.
Woohoo!
Okay, third point. Humility activates the kindness loop. Humility activates the kindness loop. Now, the fifth fruit of the spirit is kindness.
Yeah.
I thought that was really stupid. why is that on the list? How is that important? Surely there's a whole lot of other things that are, but in marriage and probably the last 5 years, I think it's opened up for me at a whole new level. The simple power of kindness in a marriage, but more than that, in life.
Yes.
In general.
Yeah.
And it's not naff. Kindness is profoundly important. So how does your spouse receive kindness?
Mm.
What ticks the kindness box? What makes them come alive where they feel your kindness? I love this quote by Rick Warren. He says, true humility is not thinking less of yourself, but it's thinking of yourself less.
Mm.
Not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. And
yeah.
So kindness means we have to think less about me and a little more about them. How can I show these simple acts of kindness? And we're talking about little things here. So for M, I have learned slowly and painfully through the years. No, not painfully. That little acts of kindness matter.
Yes.
And so if I get up early and pray, and so if I get up but I also make Emma coffee, and in summer I make the iced coffee, put it in the fridge,
so
the freezer, so it's all ready for her. Little things like that mean a lot to her and doesn't really take much of my effort. Win-win, right?
Win-win.
Things like Em loves the bench clean, and so I kind of take responsibility for
the
dishes
and
sorting the cleanliness of the bench. And it's, again, it's a little thing. It's a thing I do not enjoy one iota, but I know it matters to Em, and it's a simple little thing that I can do to show kindness. And then with my words, if it could be said in a kind tone or in a regular tone, it just makes such a difference for Em if I can just choose the phraseology of my words and soften the tone. And so these things I know I don't always get right, but I know. And so what works for you? What does your spouse need? How do they receive kindness?
Yeah.
And so I receive kindness very differently to that stuff. Don't know, babe.
He does. Yep. Just one place, one general area, one zone.
The bedroom. And so the beautiful thing with kindness is that literally we create this loop.
Yeah.
And as both parties commit to an other's focus, and it's like one spouse determines that I'm going to take the humble place of focusing on the other. And as we then love them, it's like, and the other one chooses to as well, then we have this incredible loop that begins as we prefer the other, as we serve the other, as we show kindness to the other.
Yes.
And then the spouse does the same. We have this glorious loop where the marriage just gets better.
It does.
And the love deepens. And again, there are still difficult seasons in that. And don't give up when you reach that place. But we can still then choose, okay, and that's where maybe humility becomes so profound, to say the sorries and to make the repair efforts how we need and then continue in that. So for us, humility activates the kindness
loop. Yeah, beautiful. So there's three lessons that we have learnt in this season, and we are falling forward, as we have said. Yes, we've scrambled.
True.
Yes, we've fallen. Yes, we've stumbled, broken a couple of nails, grazed a couple of knees along the way, but here we are falling upwards again and still committed to this glorious journey, this glorious story that we have signed up for.
Yeah.
But three pretty powerful lessons we think there about eating humble pie is that humility owns its brokenness, humility commits to the journey, and humility activates the kindness loop.
That's right. And so let's remember again from the word, God opposes the proud but shows favor on the humble.
Yeah.
And so in our marriages, let's keep eating that humble pie and see the favor of God pour in.
Believing that for you good people out there. Favor in your marriages as you fall forward eating humble pie.
Woo!
Bless you.
Yeah, we love you guys.
Cheersies. We're in this together.
Yeah.